Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Well, welcome in. It's a Monday here on the firm of Harris and Meringue, except for it's just Meringue. And I'm all just completely discombobulated now because I'm in a different spot. And somebody stole my mic cover. Nobody, you know, nameless Joe Fisher, notorious thief of mic covers. I'm blaming you without knowing it's you because that's what I do. It's just me today with Rusty behind the glass for the next 2 days. And then, it's Christmas time, buddy. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Y'all ready for it?
I'm a very holly jolly Christmas, as you can tell if you're watching here on the YouTubes. Dirt and Sprague had the festivities going. They had their gift exchange. And If one of you guys is listening right now and you perhaps packed up my laptop thinking it was yours, it'd be really cool if you'd bring that back. I'd really appreciate that. So I'm looking around like, where's my laptop? I just put it down. So if I'm laptopless, that's a problem. But hey, it's a holiday weekend. I was talking to old boss man Cooley. And was like, hey, what's a more or less productive week as a boss man? Is it the NCAA tournament or is it Christmas time? And he said, you know what, NCAA tournament. I mean, and I asked him specifically, is it more about us?
Left it on your desk.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, well, maybe I'm an idiot. I brought it in here and then I took it back out. There you go. Yeah, I'm an idiot. There you go. I accused somebody of stealing my laptop and it was me. No worries. But yeah, apparently I brought it in here and then took it back out when I went back outside because I'm a dummy. There you go. But I asked Cooley what's a less productive week. Which side would you fall on, Rusty? What's a less productive week? NCAA tournament, and not just here, because NCAA tournament for us is like, that's a big weekend for us. But in the work world, this week or the NCAA tournament?
Ooh. Well, or could it even be the week in between Christmas and New Year's?
Yeah, but I feel like people are back in general then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but still, I feel like still just coasting, though.
Yeah, that one's probably more of a lost work time, where, like, the way Cooley phrased it, or the way I asked him was, you know, which is less productive? And it's less productive now because everyone is checked out.
Yes.
But the lost man hours is greater in the NCAA tournament because everyone's here, but no one's getting anything done.
Yeah.
So it's one of those kind of situations. So I'm going to fake it for 2 days. But the great news, at least for me, is quite simply that I don't really have to do much because the sports so hard this weekend that we have 11 billion things to talk about.
Lots of stuff.
Did you do anything this weekend as far as the preparation for Christmas? Are we done with our gifts? Are we done with the hanging of lights and
lights have been up for a bit. Basically yesterday, pretty much wrapped up the Christmas shopping.
Pretty much,
at least for the kiddos.
Oh,
I still got to get something for the wife. I hope she's not listening.
Oh no.
Yeah, but anyway,
Russ, why would you say that out loud?
Well, you know, it is what it is. There's no secrets.
That's fair.
We're in the trust tree.
There you go. I did the thing where I waited until Tuesday morning to order Tiff's gift. Gotcha. And I ordered it, and it was like, it will be there by Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got an email on Friday afternoon that it said it was going to be there Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Uh-oh.
And I went, oh, sweet Jesus, please, no, 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 no. So I told her preemptively, like, hey, look, this is where it's at. And I got an update was it Saturday that it's being delivered today.
There we go.
It was Saturday or something. I don't know. The days blend together.
Yeah.
But I was panicking.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things where I was down to deciding between two different presents.
Gotcha.
And I got frozen by fear. I got frozen by fear. I'm not afraid to admit that. I was like, I gotta get this right. Gotta nail this. I paid for the expedited shipping. And I'm like, why did I pay for the expedited shipping? It's going to be here on Wednesday.
Right.
What do you mean?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here? Meanwhile, I ordered myself some new workout gear because if you're watching on YouTube, if you paid attention to last year, I've lost a metric crap ton of weight and I'm swimming in all my clothes.
There you go.
So I was like, you know what? I wanted to actually.
It's a decent problem to have.
Right. It's a good thing to have.
Right.
I was over at my parents yesterday and they're like, hey, we're cleaning out some stuff. We found some of your clothes. And I was like, I had one of my old USC zip up hoodies that I haven't seen it in like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, I wonder if it fits. I put it on. I was like, hey, all right. We're doing well now. Well, I don't know about well. We're just less fat. I mean, that's how it goes. But in all of that, I ordered the workout gear, and I didn't pay for the expedited shipping, and it was coming from Michigan, and immediately it was going to be here on Monday. So something that I ordered, like, within 15 minutes of placing the other order coming from Michigan here on Monday, the other thing that I ordered, which originated in Portland, was going to be here on Christmas Eve at 9 p.m. Also,
could have walked and gotten it.
Right? And then on top of that, the thing that I ordered for her was shipping via USPS.
Mm-hmm.
The Postal Service delivers at 9 p.m. on Christmas Eve?
Sometimes. Yeah.
I thought it was like a federal holiday kind of a deal. Like
Christmas Eve is not a federal holiday.
It's not.
No.
I thought it was.
Just Christmas Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Same with New Year's.
For a long time, I didn't get those days off.
Yeah.
So they all blend together for me as far as those things go.
Well, and I worked in restaurants for too long, too, so, you know.
Do you ever work at a Chinese restaurant?
Not a Chinese, no.
Okay.
Nope.
I would love to talk to somebody who's worked in a Chinese restaurant and be like, what was your experience?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just the...
Busy nights on Christmas.
Right. I mean, it's the simple things that come along with those of like, what weird, crazy, wild stories did you get out of that?
Right.
Friday night, we did the PIR, the Winter Wonderland.
Right on.
That's a fun little deal, man.
Yes, we've done that before.
I've never done it before.
We, several years back, my wife, for one of her, she did it kind of like for a client party. We rented a double-decker bus and invited a bunch of her clients on there and took the double-decker bus through the PIR light show.
That
was pretty cool. We had some of the coffee containers filled with hot chocolate and schnapps. Mm. And yeah.
We did the, we did it, just took my cars, me and her, and we saw a massive Hummer limo wrapped in lights. And apparently there was a bunch of like passenger vans.
Gotcha.
So apparently you can do like a catered kind of, you know, bespoke tour of it.
Right.
But I had never done that before. And then I saw we were deciding between that Peacock Lane and the ships.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at the weather Friday night, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I bought the tickets. I bought the tickets on Monday and I was like, well, we could maybe do one, like you could kind of switch this up. And it was Friday. It was supposed to be a complete dumpster fire.
Right.
It was, you know, the atmospheric river was supposed to keep coming down.
Yes.
And I went, that sounds like a terrible, terrible time.
Yeah, maybe that eliminates zoo lights.
Right. And that was the thing. That was the other one we were looking at. It was like, all right, let's maybe look at that. And I was like, well, worst case scenario, even if it's raining, you know, we can do PIR, be in the car. And we stomped and grabbed some hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the windows down. It was like 54 degrees.
Yes, yeah, it was a nice little day.
I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
We ended up like walking the dogs, I want to say, the next day, and it was pure unadulterated hellscape because it was just pouring. It was like 40 degrees, and I'm sitting there like, well, we made the right choice as far as like what days to go, but also, did you see the videos coming out of Peacock Lane?
No.
Holy.
Gnarly?
Are
we talking in terms of weather or traffic?
No, people.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Because they do the, Friday night is the pedestrian only night.
I was going to say, yeah, I know they have some nights that, yeah, no cars.
Brother.
Yeah.
I did not know that it got like that.
Well, I guess if it's, you know, and if it's going to be that nice of a weather on a Friday night right before Christmas, then yeah, that place will, yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
we used to go there every year when I was a kid.
I did it once, I think, when I was like 13 or 14. We've talked about this a little bit. My bah humbugness towards holidays. I don't hate Christmas. I don't hate holidays. I just didn't have. We did stuff when I was a kid, but as like a young adult, I didn't do those things.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I didn't ever form those traditions or anything along those lines. And I was like, you know, kind of ambivalent towards it. I've been bitten by the Christmas spirit bug.
Oh, hey, there we go.
It's fun, man. Yeah. PIR was a blast. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we didn't do the Peacock Lane because what an ass show. It looked like a couple thousand people.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And I was
not
like,
surprised.
The PIR, I did the express pass. I paid like $20 more, and you just bypass everything.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? That's kind of nice. Just kind of scoot in the front of the line and, you know, cut off like 30 cars. I was like, and now you're kind of stuck going the speed of the speed. And
yes.
They tell you, you can go however fast or however slow you want. But that didn't bother me.
Yeah.
There was a car in front of us that stopped them, and you turn your headlights off.
Right.
Which, you know, kind of, number one, the guy behind me did not turn his headlights off. And I wanted to get out of the car and yell at him. but beyond that, this car in front of us kept stopping and with no headlights, there's no headlights anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And letting their kid, who's probably 5 years old, get out of the car so they could take a picture with the kid in front of the lights.
Oh, geez.
And I'm just like, look, I know everybody's like going real slow.
Right.
But it's pitch black outside except for the Christmas lights.
Well, I have a little bit of self-awareness here, too.
Right? I'm just like, and it happened probably like 3 or 4 times. And I'm just like, I get it. Like, we don't get me wrong. We came to a stop so we could get like a good picture of stuff.
Right.
But that's fine.
Nobody's getting out the car.
Yeah, and again, it's not a little kid in the dark. I know I'm sounding like an old man shaking fist at Sky right now, but I was just like, that seems kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Not the safest thing in the world.
It's just one of those things where it was just like, is it worth it for that picture? Your kid turns into a speed bump?
Right.
Just, you know.
Yeah. Your kid becomes an advertisement for, you know, bike helmets.
I mean, I'm a walking advertisement for a bike helmet, so I can't like get too mad about that. You know, it's one of those kind of situations where I'm a big dummy that gets hurt. So
yeah. Well, listen, the reason why you need a helmet is a different story.
But. Yeah, I know. Look, I'm a little on the old spectrum. So it happens. You know, it's one of those things. But speaking of it happening, college football happened pretty damn hard this weekend.
It did.
I'd love to go chronologically, but we are the home of the Ducks. So we're going to start with the Ducks taking on JMU and getting their first college football playoff win of the new era. We'll get to that next here on the Firm of Harrison Marang here on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Well, following up on the opening segment there, apparently I'm not old guy shaking fist at cloud when it pertains to people letting their kids out on the track at PIR for Christmas lights. That's like watching people go get their picture taken with a buffalo at Yellowstone. Bleep around and find out. Yeah. I mean.
Yep. In the words of Ricky Bobby, that's just dumb.
Yeah. It's just, why? Why would you do it?
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of people are asking why would the college football playoff allow group of six teams in. Bah, 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 bah. Oregon Ducks handle business 51-34 over James Madison. And, you know, I asked Dirt, you know, what's your single biggest takeaway from this game? And he was like, honestly, man, I don't really have one. It's, you know, it's the everybody got out of there healthy, which if you're Ole Miss, you can't say the same. Watching that game, it was like, yeah, they're beating the crap out of Tulane, but what was the cost? It seemed like every 3 minutes somebody else was going down.
Right.
It's like, good gravy, guys. Get out of this healthy. But the Ducks win 51-34, and they didn't cover.
Nope.
They didn't cover.
They didn't cover. It looked like they were going to have that pretty well in hand.
Yeah, I mean, early on, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
JMU's first drive, watching Alonzo Barrett get out there. And
Barnett.
Barnett. Throw a pancake block.
Right.
Had me just absolutely juiced. I was like, oh, this guy's built different. You sprung like an 18-yard run on that. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I always miss the first couple of drives because I'm on my way home after doing the pregame show.
Well, I had to watch. I watched the first drive for each team, and then I had to go run errands, and I was watching the rest of the game on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Holdall called me out because it was the only tweet I had about the game because he gives me crap about being anti-Duck. Because shout out, Casey. He's a Duck. But, you know, I'm sitting there watching it, and Oregon's just explosive play after explosive play after explosive play after explosive. The first five drives, the longest drive they had was like 240.
I think it took 12 plays for their first three scoring drives.
I mean, they were chunking the living bejesus out of
them. 4-yard drive followed by a 5-yard drive followed by a 3-yard drive for three scores.
Just like, oh.
Yeah, they were humming.
Okay, this is going to be a thing. But coming out of this game, Oregon handled business. You go in the half up, what was it, 34-6 at the half, you're like, all right, let's go ahead and salt this thing away. And then they kind of screwed around.
Yeah.
And, you know, some backups certainly got in for Oregon, but Dante's out there all game. Your running backs are out there all game. Your wide receivers are out there all game because you played with your food a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sitting here like beating the drum of like, oh, this is scary. But number one, give JMU some credit.
Yeah.
They're down 34-6 at halftime,
man.
And they kept going.
Yep.
That's a fun little team. You know, obviously they're losing their coach again,
mm-hmm.
but you just kind of look at what they've done and the path. We you know, Harris and I talked about this last week. This is JMU's path, man. Like they'll build and build and build, and then they'll go. And they'll build and build and build, and they'll go.
Yep.
See if they can continue doing that again. It'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, what did we say last week? I think, just 5 years removed from the FCS playoffs?
And they're in.
Yeah.
The college football playoff, and they acquitted themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
They were not Tulane.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Tulane. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeesh. Yeesh. In that same vein, Oregon goes out there. Dante looked really good until he didn't. He had a couple moments where you're like, But this is a team you can afford to do that against, right? So if you're going to do that, I think for me the biggest takeaway is what Dan Lanning said. Oregon fell short of the standard.
Yeah.
Despite the win. But again, at this point in time, this is the spot that you want to be in. If you're going to make mistakes in the college football playoff, you want to do it in a win. You don't want to go out there and have what happened to you against Ohio State, where Jeremiah Smith was on the fourth play, just goes, meow, and road runners his way to the end zone. Mm-hmm. You're like, ooh, that's not good. Here's a question for you, Duck fans. You've now won a college football playoff game. In this era, does it matter to you? You know, I heard the boys in the morning talking about, you know, this was an improvement.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, it's
technically it is, but do you feel like it's an improvement over last year's team? Is it an accomplishment?
I think we got to get through next week.
And that's kind of the interesting thing. Yeah, they want to call
it but New Year's, you know.
Yeah, the next game.
Yeah. I know. Technically it is next week.
It is technically the next week in the college football playoff. But Is this something you put up? Like, let's go to full New York Knicks. You hanging the banner?
Right. I don't think I'm hanging the banner. But look, you went out and you took care of business, and you did what you needed to do. You got out with the W. You got out healthy. You got some guys back, and got them back into some game action before heading into what should be a very tough matchup on New Year's Day against Texas Tech.
Yeah, and we will. I'd say we'll hammer that game, but we'll hammer that game in a week and a half, right? That's when we'll get to it. But Oregon did the thing they needed to do, which was be explosive, be aggressive. And that was the kind of the question we had coming into the game is how aggressive will they be?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Jamari Johnson, 41-yard touchdown catch.
Dude.
That was pretty aggressive.
That snag was nuts.
The big old boy.
Boy.
when he went up the middle and the linebacker turned with him, I'm like, nope, that's It's the wrong level of athlete.
Yeah.
It was over as soon as he, I mean, it's the old adage, if I'm even, I'm leaving.
Yeah, and that was another one where I didn't get to see it live. I was still in the car, but yeah, once I saw the replay, I was like, oh, that's what Jerry was talking about.
Yeah, it was that, I mean, that was a hell of a play. You had Deer Hill, who seemingly every time he touched the ball was gone.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, see you later, bye. Like,
lightning.
He is fast. Jordan Davison, who... I think it's been kind of quiet for the last couple of weeks. He ended up getting the yeoman's effort as far as the carries go. Mm-hmm. What's really interesting is they had 26 rushes, 27 passes. They just were scoring so fast that they didn't really string much together.
Right.
It was just, GMU threw the ball almost 50 times, 49 passes. They ran the ball 35 times.
Mm-hmm.
Shouts to GMU for being able to run the ball. That was the question of, you know, can they run the ball? Can they be effective? Wayne Knight had the 49-yarder. Alonzo Barnett, Alonzo just comes out too easy. He's able to be a dude. And I think the thing that comes out of this for me is they took good care of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon didn't have as many negative plays as I thought they would have. They did end up getting a couple sacks. They did get a couple tackles in the backfield. But where they were disruptive, they broke up 11 passes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you want to see, because I was talking to Dirt about Oregon and why it's not just who they're playing as far as, like, the level of team. Like, obviously, GMU is not Ohio State. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I've started thinking about with this Oregon team, and I've thought about this for the last couple of days, is the way things line up, but not only against GMU, but also against Texas Tech, is you are the two best passing teams that Oregon has played this year, Indiana and USC. What did they do? They threw the ball over the yard on them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Fernando Mendoza, Heisman Trophy winner, Surratt and Cooper are great wide receivers. Jaden Mayall was a very good quarterback. Mekhi Lemon was the Biletnikoff winner. Jacoby Lane's an absolute monster. Tino Collins is another dude. You've got great to very good
uh-huh.
quarterback play and elite wide receiver play. Not every team is going to have that. But Oregon now against both JMU and now going up against Texas Tech, they're going to play better passing games, but Baron Morton's not a quarterback that I look at. It's like, I'm terrified of.
Right.
Jaden Mayall is scary. Fernando Mendoza is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually lines up really well for Oregon, because the way they play defense, the bend, don't break, limit things, make teams march down the field. Unless you are a scary quarterback, it's going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they did give up 34 to JMU, and Lanning's going to have his, you know, Lanning and Luke Poy are both. I mean, I don't. Did you catch the press conferences?
No.
Luke Poy looked like he was going to bite through steel.
He didn't like that second half.
No, I mean, and you, to be fair, you shouldn't.
Right.
But also, it's not the sky is falling. Right.
Yeah.
You got it 34-6 at half. You maybe got a little high on your own supply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who amongst us?
Yeah, and you're gonna naturally kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit. Can I say one thing, though? Just
yeah.
Total squirrel moment. I'm a little bummed that even like on the 49-yard run from Wayne Knight, and maybe they were waiting for a Wayne Knight touchdown or something. Can we get one? Hello, Newman.
Just work that in for you. A little Newman action. Lanning, despite winning his first college football playoff game, there's a standard here. There's certainly a standard of performance. Our players know that, and they know what championship football looks like, and the second half didn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked angry that he just won a college football playoff game.
Yeah, well, because that's a guy, he's going to parse through, and he's going to find the stuff that they did wrong that he doesn't like.
He's got 10 days of tape.
Yes, and that's what is going to stick in his craw for the next 10 days, and he's like, this is what we are working on this entire damn week and a half, so this does not happen again, because we can't allow this to happen against a Texas Tech.
The talent profile at Texas Tech is significantly higher.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make those kind of mistakes, here's the thing, they aren't going to be up 34-6.
Mm-mm.
Very unlikely. Texas Tech's defense is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder if this was maybe the best case scenario. You get out healthy. You have guys out there for most of the game.
Yep.
You get DeCorian Moore back out on the field. You're like, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. you just had a catch. But hey, back on the field. Pads are popping.
Live cool. reps.
That's good.
Yes.
That's a good step forward, mm-hmm. right? Now you've got Dan Lanning can sit there for the next 10 days. When they're grinding
mm-hmm.
ahead of the Orange Bowl. and point to, do you see this? This is unacceptable.
Right.
This, we don't allow this. And I think that puts them in a position where they weren't in that going up against Ohio State in the first round last year,
mm-hmm.
where they go undefeated, they win the Big Ten title, you know, they handle business in a way that maybe you're a little bit comfortable and you have that time off. Now we're going to see what Texas Tech looks like with that time off. Oregon got probably everything they needed out of this game. Mm-hmm. You get the win, everybody comes out healthy. You have the tape. You get maybe even a little chip on your shoulder about how you played.
Yeah.
So you come into this next game now.
Yeah.
A little more ready.
Yeah. A little more fire under your butt.
I think I would argue at this point that that is probably the best possible outcome for Oregon. Let's say they win this thing 48-13.
Right.
Is that better for them?
Because they're going to feel like they went out and they prepared and did what they felt like they should do. And, you know.
Tulane and Ole Miss.
And granted, still, even if they went out and won 48-13 or what have you, Dan Lanning would still go find things to be ticked off about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there would still be those things to work on. That stack of papers might be a little bit shorter, but he's still going to find them. But yeah, so
he doesn't have to dig through the tape.
Yeah, and so I think, like to your point, these next 10 days are going to be a good let's find out some more about ourselves here as we prepare.
I do love Lanning's line. He has asked the question he was asked was if he would describe what emotion he was feeling, and Lanning responded with, "I probably wouldn't describe it." Love that.
Yes. Not a proof for the airwaves by the FCC.
Yes. Well, speaking of not describing it, I don't want to describe what the hell I watched in that Texas A&M Miami game. But let's dive into that next, because what in the world was that game? But first, here's the Big Kahuna with the Sports Center update.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Selfishly, after watching Texas A&M and Miami, where Miami pulls the upset, question mark, my number one takeaway is Reuben Bain, you are a Las Vegas Raider, because that Miami defense, good gravy. Hey, New Orleans Saints, you want to trade up from that 7-8 spot to the number 2 overall pick to go take Dante Moore? Go for it. We'll take whatever draft capital you've got that's not nailed down, and I will take Reuben Bain on the opposite side of Max Crosby for the next 5 years. Because good gravy, what an absolute freak of nature Reuben Bain is. Miami pulls the upset. I don't know if you really want to call it an upset, number 10 against number 7 in the rankings.
Well, I mean, technically it is.
Both teams were teams that, you know, played Notre Dame close,
mm-hmm.
and pulled off wins. Miami at home, A&M on the road. Reuben Bain finished the game with 5 tackles, 4 solo, 3 sacks, 4 TFLs. If you have not watched Miami yet this year and you saw Reuben Bain and Keontae Scott, the linebacker, 10 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, you saw what makes Miami scary. Because it sure as hell ain't Carson Beck. Goodness gracious. 14 of 20 was what 107? 103 and a touchdown.
Yeesh.
You also saw Malachi Toney, who had the most insane, topsy-turvy, least productive, most impactful game I've ever seen a player have. 3 rushes for 9 yards. 5 catches for 22 yards and the only touchdown, and a punt return for 55 yards that, if not for a shoestring tackle, is in the end zone. What did Miami do with that punt return? Abso-frickin-lutely nothing! Nothing! Why? Because their kicker has 3 left feet. What was happening in this game? What was happening?
Oh, man.
You saw the wind push one just dead right.
Yeah.
The toe stub, yeah. Where you're like,
Yeah, pulled the old Younghoe Koo.
I was like, what is happening? Malachi Toney, despite having impactful plays, also coughed up the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just Bryce Fitzgerald in the back end says, Marcel Reed, thank you very much. Two interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I just 0-0 at halftime?
Yeah, gross. Gross.
What? Every time, like, both these teams got in the red zone, they just puked all over themselves.
Yeah. Pretty much.
All over themselves.
Yeah, it was gross.
I just, number one, yes. Number one, credit to both defenses. Credit to both defenses were diabolical. Diabolical. Just making play after play after play after play after play.
Mm-hmm.
But goodness gracious. I mean, it was a very, 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 very good game in the sense of Texas-Ohio State to open the season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very reminiscent of somebody please do something.
Yeah.
But every time somebody did something, say Malachi Toney looks like he's going to house it, you get a shoestring tackle that saves a punt return touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And when he didn't get that, I looked at that and I went, oh. Oh, that was a big play for A&M. That might be the one that seals this. You know, if they can stand here, and then they stand. And you're going, all right, Marcel,
mm-hmm.
Here's your chance. Oh, nope. Nope. Nope, we're not going to get that. And we talked about A&M with Danny Cannell last week on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcel Reed came up. And, you know, the profile of this A&M team, whether it's Casey Concepcion, who's one of the best wide receivers in the country, how impactful he could be. Well, he coughed up the ball. Marcel Reed coughed up the ball twice. The difference is, against South Carolina, when they made that miraculous comeback against Beamer and the boys, Marcel Reed went from having the worst first half you've ever seen a quarterback have to maybe having the best second half a quarterback's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
He had no halves. He had no halves. And every time he made a play, he went full Yosemite Sam and fired that thing off in the holster into his foot.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, this is the volatility of college football. And as much as I want to crap on Carson Beck for being so unproductive,
mm-hmm.
You know what he didn't do?
Turn it over?
Didn't make the mistake. He didn't make the mistake. And I'm not giving him credit for having this great game.
Right.
Because when you throw for 103 yards,
mm-hmm.
That ain't great.
No.
But what did he do in the end? He made the play.
Made the play.
Now, Malachi Toney made the play, but you got him the ball.
Yeah.
Malachi Toney is the, I don't want to say the Jeremiah Smith or Ryan Williams of this year as a freshman, but he's the most impactful freshman in the country. And that sets up Miami kind of going forward is... You know what Miami is.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to make the mistake. Their defense is nasty.
Yes.
Between Tech and Miami, you had the two best front sevens in college football.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Durton Sprague, you know, the Sunrise guys,
mm-hmm.
They were talking about that this morning, saying just the defensive turnaround in Miami just from one offseason.
Remember last year, what was Miami's problem? They couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah, exactly. So to have it, you know, change that much in one offseason, that's remarkable. And even, I think it made Dirt throw up a little bit in his mouth when he had to say, it's like, all right, I got to give Mario his flowers here. So
now the offense is just, I mean, running on fumes would be an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But on the flip side, A&M's really good.
Mm-hmm.
A&M's really good. You know, it was a team that coming into this, I was like, you know, if they made a run, it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't go that far with Miami, but... For me, I'm just tipping my hat to Miami. Tipping my hat to Cristobal. Because we talked about this last week. And it was Thursday or Friday. You know, the idea of what coach it mattered for.
Mm-hmm.
Was Miami lost their last six bowl games?
Sure. Sounds fair.
Or maybe it was Mario. I'm
Could be
conflating
Mario.
The stats. Did Mario get over the hump?
I mean, I think that, you know, look, because like we were talking about with Oregon, and is it impressive enough beating JMU? Texas A&M is no slouch. So
no.
Like, that's, I mean, not to sell JMU short, but Miami won a legitimate playoff game.
On the road.
Yes.
At Kyle Field.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, 112,000, 102,000?
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but That's a lot.
It's a lot of people. Yes. Attendance for the game was 104,122. So they had some SRO.
Yeah.
That's a big old place, and that's a large cult.
Yep.
But you just kind of look at it. Up and down the board, A&M, more yards, more first downs, way better on third downs, 8 of 18 versus Miami's 3 of 12. Time of possession, not too far off, but it was almost 34 minutes to 26 minutes. But the key in here, turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
A&M shot themselves in the foot, 3 turnovers, Miami 1.
Yep. There you go.
And Miami missed 3 field goals.
Yeah.
You missed 3 field goals in a game that you won 10-3.
Are the Eagles looking to draft their kicker?
Buddy. Don't underestimate how impressive and important it is to have a great kicking game in college.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm so glad Miami won this game for one person and one person only,
mm-hmm.
that Miami kicker.
There we go. Yeah.
Because if you go out there and you do that and this score is flipped.
Yeah. You're having a rough weekend.
You're having a rough 5 years.
That's why you got to love it. Dan Lanning calls him Automaticus. You know?
Having that kicking game matters.
Yeah.
It absolutely matters. We got our first quasi-upset. That kind of I want to pivot here a little bit before we keep going into some games. Coming up next, the college football playoff, the first round is done. What do we know after 2 years, and do we need to make another slight little tweak to that? We'll get to that next here on the Firm of Harrison Meringue, 105.1 The Fan. The first round of the college football playoff has concluded. And with that, there's a lot of talk about, group of five, group of six, whatever the heck you want to call it. And why they shouldn't be there, Tulane and JMU, rah, 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 rah. Whatever, man. Tell the ACC to get their ass together. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Yeah, then we'll only have one group of six team in there.
Exactly. But Brandon Marcello over at CBS Sports, this is a thought that I had. I started looking into it. He did the work for me. So shout out, Brandon. As a posture point, when looking at this, as far as the first round of college football playoff through the first 2 years, he said, let's provide the public with a reminder. First round games in last season's CFP were decided by, you know what, let me ask you this. What's the average score that points were decided by in the first round last year?
Well, let's
take
see.
A wild guess.
Well, I know that Oregon game, that wound up being what, 42-21?
A little bit closer than the game was, but yeah.
Yeah. So tell you what, let's start with 20 points as a jumping off point.
Very good, sir. 19.3.
There we go. Check out the big brain home, Brad.
So last year's first round games were absolute butt kickings.
Yes.
Nearly 3 scores.
And that was when you had all conference winners in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, they also featured 0 upsets.
Yeah.
0.
I'm sorry. We had all conference winners in the for the byes.
By the byes, yes. I knew what you were saying. I should have quoted. Yeah. But last year, 0 upsets.
Yeah.
What did you have this year?
Several.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Need 2.
Yeah.
Need 2.
There we go.
Alabama knocking off Oklahoma 34-24. And then you had Miami 10-3.
Mm-hmm.
And you had it with teams that were 9-10.
Mm-hmm.
Good, arguably the 2 best games of the weekend.
Yeah.
You had upsets.
Yes. Yep.
Isn't this what you want?
Right.
Are you not entertained?
Exactly.
I'd argue it's working. Yes, Ole Miss beat the living tar out of Tulane.
Yes.
And?
And also, again, Tulane only in there because the ACC can't decide their tiebreakers properly.
And the worst losses in the first round last year featured Ohio State beating the crap out of Tennessee by 25.
Mm-hmm.
And then Penn State beat SMU by 4 touchdowns. So everybody talk about the group of 6, group of 5, rah, rah, rah. Tennessee and SMU, the ACC and the SEC
mm-hmm.
got their teeth kicked in.
Yeah. Well, now the next thing will be, too, because remember last year, all 4 teams that got the first round bye lost.
Mm-hmm. Now let's see what happens. But for Tech, Ohio State, Georgia, Indiana. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Now, the matchups, I would argue, because they did seeding better this year.
Yeah.
We all agree with that, right?
Fair enough.
So, looking at that right now, since the CFP debuted in 2014 with the 4-team format, The average margin of victory, 17.5 points. For the group of six teams, the average margin of defeat is 21.5. 71% of CFP games, 32 of 45, have been decided by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference between your power four and the group of five is 4 points.
That's not a lot, Bob.
So this whole idea of like, yeah, but, and that's with when you add in Ole Miss throttling Tulane by 31.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, you're going to have some sideways ones in there, but SMU, Tennessee, are those group of four or power four schools? Yeah. And they got their teeth kicked in.
Yeah. I mean, technically, SMU.
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, ACC.
I know. And they won the conference last year. So, you know, I get it.
But
still, ACC almost feels like a group of six conference.
Sure. But point. Oregon JMU, what did it end at? 17.
Yeah.
That's the average margin of defeat in first rounds for power four schools.
Yep.
What did JMU do? Did they acquit themselves? Yeah. They hit the average. In fact, they beat it by half point. Meanwhile, Oklahoma, Alabama, it's a 10-point game. Double-digit game. Now, Miami A&M, they set some records, but it was more of the futile type.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to make another change?
This is the thing that's been said. Is that I think where the change needs to be made is the ACC getting out of their own damn way.
That's part of it.
And that's going to help.
But here's where I would argue the change should be made. Reseeding the second round.
Okay.
Reseeding the second round.
Gotcha.
So your number one seed, yes, you get the bye, but also reseed it. Now, for me, I would love that because you know what can't happen then? The TV networks can't set up their rounds.
Right.
They could try.
Yeah.
They could try, but if they get an upset, guess what happens? Uh-oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, so.
Because
not going to happen then.
If you did that this way, right now, Indiana would play Miami. So you'd have Indiana, Miami. You'd have one there, and then Ohio State would play, I had this written down, but.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Yes.
You're telling me you don't want to see Ohio State, Alabama?
Georgia would have
Ole Miss.
Okay.
No.
Hang on here.
Yes, Ole Miss. Yes, and then you would still get Tech Oregon.
Yes. There we go.
So everything would change except for that. So Oregon fans, you don't get host here.
Right. I think we still got, I mean, look, this next round, I don't see a single like bad, unentertaining matchup.
No. I think all of them are.
They're all bangers.
So Ohio State, Miami is the only one that's more than a score.
Right.
That's 9.5. Yep. I feel like that line's maybe a bit too high. If it stays at 9.5, I think I would take Miami to cover that.
Are you saying because of Miami's defense, it's a little too high?
Yeah. Yes. I would probably, if it was 8.5, I would probably be leery of that.
Gotcha.
But I think Miami, because of their defense, should be getting a little bit more love. But Miami's offense, so I'm using this in a kind of a transitive property. We saw what Ohio State and Indiana was.
Mm.
I think Miami's defense that front seven especially, is better than Indiana's. But their offense is severely lacking.
Right.
Indiana's offense is leaps and bounds better than Miami's.
Funny how that goes when you have a Heisman Trophy winner.
Turns out it's pretty helpful.
Yes.
Pretty helpful.
Pretty helpful.
But I think if we're going to make a tweak, it's not to the first round. I think they've got it nailed down.
Right. Yeah. I think, because, yes, we had some good games. We had some good games. And, you know, yeah, outside of, again, probably that one G6 team that.
Which is going to happen.
Shouldn't have been there.
It can happen to a G6 team. It can happen to an ACC.
Yeah.
Who's to say, I'm going to say it, that Notre Dame doesn't go in there and get mopped by somebody?
Right. Exactly.
It can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Yep. Especially since, you know, maybe Marcus Freeman's going to the Giants. Maybe that's weighing out in their minds.
Great hire for the Giants. If it happens, bad move by Marcus.
Right?
Bad move by Marcus.
Yeah, but if you have your chance to go to the...
I get it.
He's got the young quarterback there. And
you know what? That's fair.
And he's got the young quarterback
Jackson,
there.
They do have Neighbors, next year, and they do have Cam.
Yeah, and you'll get Cam Scataboo back. You'll get Malik Neighbors
and
back.
And you have a number one or number two overall pick. It's between them and the Raiders and how that ends up working
out. Go get
out.
Yourself a lockdown, edge rusher or something? tackle. I don't know. I don't. I'm not terribly
trade back. If I am the Raiders or the Giants, I am trading back in this draft. And everybody, people have texted in like the Raiders need a quarterback. I'm aware. I don't want any of those quarterbacks.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm good.
This is not one of those years, I think, where you want to go up and try to take somebody in like the top 10 or so.
You want to look if New Orleans or who do they have? They had somebody else trading up. Who do they have? Miami. If you want to let New Orleans or Miami trade up in the one or two spot, go with God. For all the Oregon fans out there, you just don't like Dante. I don't like Fernando either.
Yeah.
As a Raiders fan, I don't want either of those guys as my quarterback.
Well, you don't think the Saints are just going to settle on Tyler Shuck?
Oh, yeah. Ride that train, baby. Ride that train. But if that's where you're at, go ahead and get out of there. All right, we're going to pivot to the NFL here coming up next because, look, college football delivered, but boy, did Green Bay Chicago deliver. I want to get into this Bears game because what an absolutely epic closing that game for the Chicago Bears. Are the Bears for real? We'll get to that next here in hour number two of the firm of Harrison Ring on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.